Good morning, good morning, good morning. We were back there in prayer, so I did not even see the countdown happening, so I apologize that it wasn't on time, but I don't apologize that I was in prayer. So how many of you know that that's what the church is all about? There was a need, and so we just prayed. We don't even need to wait for prayer time in a service, right? It's always time to pray. So I'm so thankful that we know God will move and meet the needs, and he knows what's going on. I know we just also saw some friends in the faith come in who we haven't seen in a while, so it's great to have you here. We're so glad you're back. I know God has plans for different people in different seasons, and we hate to see them go, but we bless them going, but it's always great to be able to reconnect, and so we appreciate that. I do want to say, if this is your first time here, we love you. And that's not just something we say, but when you experience the love of Christ, it can't help but come out to others. And that's what it's all about. So we love you. We care about you. If it is your first time here, we would ask that you just scan this QR code and get your information to us so we can connect with you, because we don't believe you have to do life by yourself. The body of Christ is here for unity and to serve Christ together. Amen? All right, so a few things we do want to let you know about. We were going to have a special service in Findlay tonight, our Target service, but the church we were partnering with is not able to do it. So they let us know about a week ago that they needed to cancel. So we do apologize about that, but you have another opportunity, because Wednesday we are having another outreach service in Bucyrus. For those of you who went last month when we did it, it was a great time in the Lord. In the middle of Bucyrus, they have a whole area, and we played music, and the word was ministered by their pastor, Josh Millington, and we were able to come alongside that church and just be the body of Christ together. And so we want to invite you, if you are able, in any way, if you are able, I encourage you to be there. We're going to take the church bus, leave from here at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. So if you want to ride with us, you're more than welcome. If you want to come and follow us, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want to just drive and meet us over there, that's fine too. It is going to be at, if you just put that in your GPS, Shines Art Park in Bucyrus. And it's a great outreach where we can just let the community know God is alive, Jesus loves you, and there are people who care. The world needs to know that. And we can't. The world doesn't hear it when we're within four walls of a church building, right? So we need to get outside of the four walls. So this Wednesday, it's at 7 p.m. in Bucyrus. Please come and join us and be in prayer for that service, because I believe God has great, great things in store. Just a reminder of all the camps we have coming up. Our kids are leaving for camp this Saturday. If you have not signed up, it's not too late. Please get a hold of myself or any of the youth pastors, or talk to the welcome desk. They can get you information. And then teen camp starts on Tuesday. So we want kids to go to camp. It can transform their lives. I've seen it over and over again. So if you know someone who's on the fence, really encourage them. Like, take the time and go to camp. If money's an issue, please talk to us, because money is not an issue. We will make sure that your child can go. And then everyone, please be in prayer for camp that week. We know kids are kids, and sometimes there's drama that tries to distract, and the enemy may come in and try to distract, and sometimes it's really hot and people complain. But when you get into the presence of God in those church services, nothing else matters. So let's just be praying that the Spirit can move freely in all of those services. And then the first full week of August, we have family camp. So we have two powerful men of God coming. This takes place in Warsaw, Ohio, Monday through Friday, August 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and it ends on the 9th. So if you're able to go the whole week, great. If you're able to only come one day, come on down, and I believe that God will just bless you through the ministry of the word, through the fellowship with the saints. It'll be a good time in the Lord. And if you can only pick one day, I'm going to suggest take Tuesday the 6th, because we are having a women's spa day that the Ohio Women's Ministry is sponsoring. So we will have a lot of fun and pampering that afternoon. We have a 10 o'clock service, and then at 1:30 is the women's spa day, and then the evening service at 7 o'clock. So you could come for the full day and experience all of that. And then we have this event paper at the welcome desk. So if you want to make sure you grab one or check our website, we always have a lot of things going on, opportunities to minister, opportunities to get involved. So please make sure that you're doing that. And at this time, we have our call to worship. So if Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunia are coming up, can we just give them a hand as they come? We appreciate and love them so very much.
Soy muy pequeña para los vestidos largos. Traductor.
Oh, she says I'm too short for long dresses.
Estoy en el país de los gigantes.
I'm in the country of giants.
Para ver personas pequeñas es un poco
raro. It's not easy to see short people in this country.
Así que quiero hacer un poco como ustedes, un poco alto.
So I want to be like you guys, taller.
Amén. Le damos gracias a Dios por estar aquí.
We thank God for being here.
Estoy muy agradecida del Señor.
I am very grateful with
Pero
the
tan
Lord.
Agradecida porque el viernes cumplimos 2 años de estar en este hermoso país.
But also grateful because last Friday it was 2 years since we got to this country.
Este maravilloso país.
This amazing country.
Que nos da la oportunidad que no nos da nuestros países.
That gives us the opportunities that our own countries don't give us.
De cumplir sueños.
To have dreams fulfilled.
De lograr metas.
To accomplish goals.
De ver una mejor vida para nuestros hijos y nuestros nietos.
To see a better life for our children and grandchildren.
Así que yo bendigo la nación de los Estados
so
Unidos.
I bless the United States of America.
Bendigo su gobierno.
I bless the government.
Y bendigo de la forma en que siempre piensan en su pueblo.
And I bless the way that they think about his people.
Y le agradezco a nuestro Señor.
But most of all, I thank our Lord.
Porque guardó mi familia hasta llegar aquí.
Because he protected our family to make it here.
Mi mayor tesoro, mi mayor riqueza.
My greatest rich, my greatest treasure is my family.
Mi familia que esté unida.
That is always being together.
Yo creo que cuando a Job le pasó todas las cosas que le estaban pasando de perder su riqueza, pudo sentirse triste.
All the riches he had, he was super sad, I'm sure.
Pero en el momento en que empezaron a arrancarle su familia,
but when his family was taken away,
Job empezó a sentir verdaderamente un dolor profundo.
I think that's when he really felt a deep pain in his soul.
Y cuando se sintió solo,
and when he felt all by himself,
sin su familia y enfermo,
without his family and sick,
sintió que tal vez ya para qué iba a vivir.
He probably thought, I don't want to keep living.
Porque la mayor riqueza, mis hermanos,
because the greatest
es la familia.
That we might have is family.
Y en eso debemos pensar.
And we have to think about that.
Y en eso debemos darle muchas gracias a nuestro Señor.
And we have to thank our Lord for our
Porque
families.
Porque tal vez podamos no tener la casa más hermosa del
because
mundo.
Because maybe you don't have the most beautiful home in the world.
Ni tener mucho dinero.
Or maybe you don't have too much money.
Que pueda faltar todo eso.
Maybe you're lacking
Pero que no falte nuestra familia.
But as long as you have your family,
Así
you have everything.
Así que trata de sonreír. Pues yo trato de sonreír
so
en este país.
Please smile.
I mi saludo.
Try to smile in this
Dios sabe que no miento. Mi saludo
God
en mi trabajo, en
I'm
todos los
lying.
Lugares, es mi sonrisa.
The way I greet people in this country,
porque yo
the
tengo
way I talk to people is by smiling at them.
Que estar alegre.
Because I have to be happy and glad.
Porque Dios me ha dado.
Because God has given me
para disfrutar.
To enjoy
mi familia.
My family.
Así que dale muchas gracias siempre a tu Dios.
So please,
no te sientas triste.
Do not
deja
be sad.
El rencor, deja la rabia.
Just leave anger, leave
deja de estar pensando
feelings.
Por los demás.
Stop thinking about
no
what
te
others
detengas,
are thinking.
Porque cuando llegue el momento en que te enfrentes a una enfermedad,
because when you face difficulties or sickness in life,
te vas a dar cuenta que nada de eso vale la pena.
You will realize that it wasn't worth
nada
it to be
eso.
Concerned about
y
those
dices,
things.
¿Por qué estuve triste tanto tiempo?
And you will say, why was I sad so
cuando
long?
Pude estar contento y alegrándome.
When I could have been happy and rejoicing in the
Perdona
Lord.
Pronto.
Forgive others
no
soon.
Te demores.
Do not take time to
no
forgive
siembres
others.
Eso dentro de ti.
Don't let that seed
Porque no vas a disfrutar a tu esposo,
you will not be able to enjoy your husband,
No vas a disfrutar a tus hijos.
You won't be able to enjoy your children.
No vas a disfrutar a tus padres,
you will not enjoy
a tus
your
abuelos,
parents, your grandparents,
por estar deteniéndote en otras cosas
just
tontas
by being stuck in
que
all
tal vez
stuff,
son hasta puestas por el enemigo
that maybe Satan himself put in your way.
Para querer que tú no veas lo que Dios sí te está dando,
so you're not able to
para tú disfrutar,
what God is giving,
para tú abrazar,
for you to
para
enjoy,
tú alabar a Dios con
embrace,
alegría, con gozo,
God with
que te
joy,
digan loco, que te digan loca, no me importa, yo alabo a mi Dios con alegría.
I don't care what the devil does.
Yo alabo
I
a mi Dios porque Él merece toda la alabanza.
Because he deserved the glory.
Cuando yo no lo merecía,
when I didn't deserve it,
Él me perdonó y aún me sigue perdonando.
And he keeps forgiving
y aún me sigue viendo como la niña de sus
and
manos.
He keeps seeing me as the apple of his eye.
¿Cómo no agradecer a nuestro Dios?
I have to
en este día estamos aquí porque estamos agradecidos
today
de nuestro
we're
Señor.
Here because we are grateful.
Aparta, te lo digo de corazón, aparta de ti.
I'm telling you this from my heart.
Todo lo que tal vez te robe ese gozo y esa
get
alegría
rid of the things that are trying to steal your
de
joy.
Poder saborear hasta tu salud.
So you can be able to enjoy your health.
Cuando Jesús iba de camino a Jerusalén,
when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem,
se le encontraron 10 leprosos.
He encountered 10 lepers.
Pidiéndole que por favor sanara su cuerpo.
Asking him to heal them.
Y él le dijo, ve a los sacerdotes.
And he said, go see the priest.
Dice que cuando iban caminando donde estaban los sacerdotes,
and it says, as they were on their way to
comenzaron
talk to the
a
priest,
ver que estaban sanados.
They started to see their skin being healed.
Pero sabemos la historia.
But we know the story.
Solo uno regresó.
Just one came back.
A darle las gracias.
To thank
se inclinó
him
en el suelo y le dio gracias al Señor. Gracias
said,
porque me sanaste.
Lord, you
porque
you
cambiaste
me
mi lamento en baile.
My sorrows into dance.
Y Jesús le dijo,
said,
¿no eran 10?
It was not 10 of you.
Solamente tú has venido.
And you're the only one coming back.
Y Jesús no se sentía disgustado.
Jesus was not angry.
Porque tal vez los 9 no lo habían ignorado.
The other 9 were away. He wasn't angry.
Él se sentía
that
disgustado porque no le habían dado la alabanza a Dios,
he
la adoración
was,
a Dios
probably,
y la gloria a Dios.
He was probably disturbed by the fact that the other 9 were not giving God the glory.
Dios estará disgustado con nosotros hay veces porque no le damos la gloria y la alabanza a Él.
Sure
porque no sentimos agradecimiento por lo que sí tenemos.
That is part of being
por favor, este tiempo de adorar y alabar a nuestro Dios y
and
darle gracias.
Him,
tenemos
him
familia, tenemos salud, tenemos
we
amigos.
Help,
gracias, gracias por estar en tu casa
thank
tanto tiempo. Gracias,
we
Lía. No lo digo por hipocresía
thank
ni por delante de todo, lo digo de corazón. De corazón.
From our hearts.
Gracias por cada
thank
cosa que hiciste por mis
for
hijos,
por
el amor
children
que me entregaste a mí, a
and
mi familia.
Gracias.
Gracias por tus niñas,
thank
porque
you
las
for
disfruté.
Your beautiful daughters,
gracias.
I enjoy them.
Gracias por todo, porque
thank
hoy tenemos abrigos que tal vez no pudiéramos
because
comprarnos.
We have friends
porque
here
cada
in this
uno
church
de ustedes, Dios le tocó su corazón.
Because God touched
y vemos
each
que
of
Dios
hearts
es real por eso. Porque hoy tenemos muchas cosas gracias a esta iglesia.
And we have this kind of love today thanks to this congregation.
¿Cómo yo no puedo sonreír cada
so
vez que
I
veo
have
a alguien?
To smile,
¿por qué
guys
no me puedo alegrar?
I
no
have
importa
to be glad.
Lo demás no lo quiero ver.
I don't care
ponte
about anything
pie
else.
Dale gracias a Dios.
Stand up and thank God.
Yo te pido que tú pongas tu mano en tu pecho. Pon tu mano en tu pecho. En la parte de tu corazón. Ponla aquí tu mano en
put
la parte
your
de tu
on
corazón
your heart for a second.
Intenta sentir tu corazón.
And feel your heart beating.
¿Tuviste cada latido?
Can you hear your heart beating?
Cada latido te dice que Dios te ama.
Every beat of your heart says
y
God
que
loves
tú
you
sí puedes seguir adelante.
That you can keep going forward.
Que no te detengas.
Don't stop.
Que nada puede ser mayor que tu Dios.
Nothing is greater.
Y si esos latidos siguen
than
ahí
your God
es porque Dios tiene grandes cosas contigo.
And if your heart's still beating, it's because
Dios
God still
ama
has plans
Dios
with
nos
you
ama.
And he loves you.
Y vienen muchas más grandes cosas
and
que vas a disfrutar con
are
él
to come
para él
from
dándole
him
gloria a él.
Just give
así
him
que
the
alaba
glory
a tu Dios con todo tu corazón.
So praise him today with all your
gracias
heart.
Dios, gracias
thank
Dios,
you,
Dios. Gracias
thank
Dios.
Thank you God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you thank Jesus today? Yes, praise him. He's good. He's good, he's good, he's good. We have to thank God this morning because we woke up enjoying his new mercies. And we have to thank him this morning because it was the prayers of the saints that covered the life of the president of the United States, the soon-to-be president. I was thinking that this attack was pretty much against our faith too. Because something would have happened and God forbid, then many people would have mocked our God. and say, where was God? This morning the church can rise and say, I saw God turning the head of that guy the last second. So I don't know about you. I'm not even American. But when I see that, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We're not in a mess today because of him. And today we can rejoice and praise God because even himself is giving God the glory for it. So this morning, as we get ready to give, the three ways that are on the screen by check, cash, via Venmo, we come to the altar with praise and worship because God is still blessing the United States of America and is still blessing your life. Amen. Yes. Give him a hand. Yes. It's for him. It's for him. Father God, we thank you this morning for your blessings, your extravagant love. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. I can feel your presence in this place. And if you're here, we're okay. Because this service wouldn't have any sense without your presence. Therefore, Father, we thank you for being here with us through the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, God, that you can use this worship team to usher your presence and lead your people into the Holy of Holies to enjoy the goodness of our God. We thank you today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And as you come, just keep praising the Lord. Amen.
Oh, well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh, well, and Says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Amen. And whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. So you have been given that living water, and now it's flowing from you, from person to person. And the Spirit of God is upon you this morning. So let's just worship him. Let's thank him for that living water. And we thank you, God, that your Spirit is upon us, Lord. And that you are with us, God. And as we are moving out among the people of this world, God, that your Spirit is flowing from us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Because he has anointed you. Good news. And he has sent you to the poor. This is the year to bind up the broken heart. This is the day to bring freedom to the captive. This is the year to release the ones in darkness. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the glory of our God. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This is the day. Oh, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us, because He has anointed us to preach good news. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us, because He has anointed us to preach good news. He will comfort all.
Don't power, love our God.
be
praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Just in your breath. You're not even speaking and uttering a sound, but just breathing is breathing the name of God. He has breathed life into us, and we get to breathe and express His name with every breath. The God, the living God, lives within us. His breath has been breathed into us. He has given us life. And the least that we can do is give Him praise and glory and honor. And I'm melt in awe and wonder of my God, the intricacies and the details that He thought and put into place within each and every one of us is magnificent. It's overwhelming, and all I can do is just give God my praise and give Him honor. Never gonna be enough, but that's all He has, is the simplest praise that you can give Him. It's His breath, church. It's in your lungs. Breathe the name of God. Hallelujah.
Up your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. May you be praised in this place, not only in this building, but in this place, in our hearts and in our lives, in our souls. We lift you up this day, God. Oh, Jesus, 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 we love you, Jesus. We declare your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Great God, you are great God. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. And I will bless the Lord, oh my, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things, he has done great. Has done great things, bless his holy name. Let's sing it one more time. So I will bless the Lord, oh my. Beautiful. Sing out with your voices. Give him your best praise this morning. So I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, within me, bless his holy name. For he has great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Now Now with your own words, can you just give him some praise right now? He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear your song. But he loves to hear your words. Just give him praise right now. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We are so grateful. Hear the gratitude of our heart this morning as we love upon you and we give you our best praise right now. For we know that it was all because of you. And Father, we thank you for orchestrating the whole plan and putting it together, the great plan of salvation and releasing your grace to us. And we receive it with thanksgiving and gladness in our hearts this day. We lift you up and give you praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this precious holy moment right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was thinking about the songs that we have sung unto God this morning, giving him praise, and what we were saying to him and the praise and adoration we were giving him. And I want to just express this to you. We were, the one song we were talking about, the favor of the sovereign God, or the favor of the Lord is upon us, and the anointing of God is upon us. And sometimes, depending on where we are in life and what we're going through, you may be in this building this morning hearing that going, yeah, well, it sure don't feel like it. It doesn't feel like the favor of God's upon me. It doesn't feel like God has anointed me, because I'm going through some things here. There's some things that I'm facing. And I just felt that. I don't know if it was from many of you or few of you or just one of you, but I felt that during our time of singing that song, and God began to just remind me of things in his word. Does God ever speak to you in his word? Like, that's when God speaks to me, I hear my Bible talk to me, right? That's why it's important that you read your Bible and you know what it says, because that's what God brings back to you. And I was reminded of Joseph, the son of Jacob, and how he, you know, the preacher's outline is he went from the pit to Potiphar's to prison to the palace, right? We always like things that roll together, and that's was running in my mind. He went from the pit to Potiphar's to prison to the palace. But there's something that's very significant and interesting about the passage of Scripture there in Genesis when Joseph is in prison. He's in the depths of prison, and the Bible says, and the favor of God was upon him. I read that one day, and I went, whoa, wait a minute. This dude had his own brothers betray him, plotted out his murder, but it just so happened that one of the brothers said, we probably shouldn't kill our own brother, so let's sell him into slavery. They stuck him in that pit, held him there, because they were going to kill him. They sell him into slavery. He goes to Potiphar's house as a slave, gets falsely accused of doing something he did not do, and gets thrown in prison. So things went from bad to worse to terrible. And God, you are saying that your favor's upon him? You see, from the outward appearance, we're like, no, that's... I mean, the dude's in prison for something he did not do. And he ended up there because his brothers betrayed him. How is that the favor of God? But let's take a glance back real quick. Because his brothers were going to kill him. But all of a sudden, the favor of God showed up and spared his life. They may have sold him into slavery, but he's still living. And when he gets to Potiphar's house, he can't help but prosper. Potiphar prospers. His whole organization prospers. Joseph prospers. And he puts Joseph in charge of his household, even though he's a slave. And then he gets falsely accused and thrown in prison. But yet, even in prison, this man cannot get away from the favor of God upon his life, because they start giving him responsibility there. They put him over some of the other prisoners and they put him in charge within the prison. Everywhere he goes, people see something in him that they don't have. We get this mixed up, church. We think favor means that everything's going to go our way. Everything's going to happen the way we want it to happen. No, favor is that wherever you are in life, whatever your situation is right now, God's hand is still upon you. So much so other people can see it. You may be locked in a prison, but people can see that God is with you. And if it hadn't been for him being put in the pit and going to Potiphar's house and being placed in prison, he could have never been able to interpret the dreams of somebody else and position them in the place they were supposed to be, so that God could then once again pull him out of the prison, put him in the palace, so that, not for Joseph's glory, so he could rescue a nation and ultimately rescue his family. The favor of the sovereign Lord is upon us. You may feel like you're walking through hell right now, but the favor of the sovereign Lord is upon you. And though you make your bed in hell, as the psalmist wrote, he will be with you. God is with us. God is for us. Amen? Now, do you feel like your faith has been built? Do you feel that right now? God, by his Spirit, is stirring up your faith. Guess what? Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to take the burdens that you walked in this building with and give them to God. Because now you've heard the word of God. You've heard the testimony of the goodness of God. And you know that if he did it for one person, he'll do it for us. So let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. Let's throw up these requests unto God. Let them be made known to him. And really give these burdens to God, because that's what he wants you to do. You are not meant to bear the burden yourself. You're meant to take this thing and give it to God. So let's do it right now. Father, you see every heart, you see every mind, and you know every situation that we are in. God, you see the heavy load that some of us are carrying right now. You see the burden that's upon us. And God, we just give it to you right now, Father, for there is nothing we can do about many of these things. All we can do is be obedient to you and use our faith in you and trust in you and follow you. And that's what we're doing right now, God. We give this all to you. Every circumstance, every problem, every sickness or disease, every heartache, every problem or trial, we offer it up to you right now. For you're a holy God. You are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. And we know that you hear us. And we know that, God, your presence is upon us and your favor rests upon our lives. For that, we give you glory and praise. That is not our doing. That is your doing. And therefore, we know that you will answer these needs right now. Our faith has been stirred. And we trust in you, God, to meet the need right now. You see the people we love and care for, and the things that they're going through in their bodies, in their hearts, in their minds, the situations of life that they're in. God, we give them to you right now. God, we thank you that you're moving and meeting needs. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hands up again. As we were singing, we throw our hands up. It's just a sign of praise, saying, thank you, Jesus, that you've heard us. You're answering. We've joined our faith together like you told us to in your word. And as we have read your Bible, we know that you are hearing us when we pray. We thank you for that, God, so much. We give you all the glory and praise and the honor. Thank you for moving and meeting these needs, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have two things I want to do before we change the order of this service and transition. First is, they can put the slide up for me. I want to remind you, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night, we are having a prayer meeting, prayer service what I should say. And this is not for the prayer team. This is not just for a select group of people. This is for the church. And I'm going to challenge you here, because I hear people say all the time in the church world, man, we need revival. We need God to move. And we say we need these things. We say we want these things. But history teaches us that they only come one way. Through prayer. So here's what I want you to ask yourself. Have I ever said or thought those things? Oh, we need revival, or I want revival to take place. If you've ever said that, like I said, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm saying this to you in love. If you've ever said that and you don't come Sunday night, then you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You say, well, why do I have to come to church and pray? Because that's what they did. They came together, joined their faith together in prayer. And here's the thing. The people who show up, they'll start experiencing revival. The people who don't, you may be able to catch the shirt tails of somebody else and enjoy it for a while. But if you don't consecrate and dedicate your own heart to God, He can't revive it. Got really quiet, Pastor Alicia. I'm glad. Because that means you're thinking. Like I said, I'm challenging you. And I understand we have busy schedules. I have a very busy schedule. But I have to decide what's important to me. And as not just a pastor of this church, but as a follower of Jesus, I see a desperate need for God to do something great in our nation. So not because I'm a preacher or a pastor, not because I hold position of anything like that, but because I am a follower of Jesus, I have to decide, what am I going to do about this? Pastor Derdy's already alluded to this, but we had a former president and a person who is running to be president again of the United States of America have an attempt on his life, an assassination attempt. We have not seen that in over 40 years in this country. Wake up, America! Wake up! Wake up! How many times do we have to have something desperate happen to us to wake us up? And I will say this. Wake up, church! Wake up! We have to do something about that. No, we don't need to go protest in the streets. No, we don't need to start knocking people out. No, we don't need to become an army where we all wear bulletproof vests and surround President Trump. No. The church is called to fall on their face before God and pray. So I'm challenging you. We have an opportunity because we have set aside a specific time to come together and to seek the face of God. Please join us. Please. Because we're mightier together. Amen? That's not this Sunday night. That's next Sunday night. All right? That's my advertisement for prayer. Hopefully, if we can come together and do it, we'll do it even more powerful at home by ourselves. Amen? The other thing we're going to do is, many of you have heard this already, and we've been working at this and developing this because this is something newer in our church, but we have been forming what we call a care team, and people who are dedicated in this church to make sure we're reaching out to people constantly, and that doesn't mean that me and Pastor Alicia aren't continually doing that. We are. But how many of you know we need help? And as we've been talking about, we are building a faith community, right? All of us coming together, we want to be intentional about these things. And so Pastor Darius oversees this ministry as our executive of ministry, and he's going to come and introduce this team to you. and share with you the purpose and goals of what we're doing with this. Come on, Pastor. Thank you.
Well, God bless you again. If we get that slide with the picture of the care team. So Pastor Alicia had this idea also to talk to us about it, and she watched something online that kind of like clicked on her spirit, and I shared that with us, and then we said, why don't we start that? And yeah, we started it. So God led us to talk to some couples in the church to start doing something about caring for others. And it's not even about the couples, it's about mostly the people of this church. So we put together this team with couples that are always willing to help those in need, but also reaching out to those that come to our church on a regular basis. And we are more looking for opportunities to help and serve others than anything else. We have been working already for a few months. It's being developed. It's going well. We need to improve on all that. But I want the congregation to see their faces. I want them to see who they are. Some of them are not here today. They're on vacation. But I think there's a poster somewhere with their picture. We had it. I don't know what happened. So, but some of them are here, and we're going to mention those who are not. We got Sister Sandy and her lovely husband, Lester. Please stand up. There you go. They're doing a significant work within the care team. So we don't have here Brother Jerry Greer and his wife, Julie, that they are part of that vacation group. Also, Sister Tammy and her husband, Jerry, and they're also out of town. But we also have in that picture Brother Brad and his wife. Are they here? I saw them. Yeah. And then Brother Ryan and his wife also, they're here too and part of the care team. So, of course, my wife and I, we oversee it. But really, the work is being done by them. So the way we do this is we communicate. If there's a situation going on with someone in particular, like someone in the family died or someone's at the hospital, there's been an emergency, we need you to communicate with us. And one of the effective ways we've been doing is sometimes people call Sister Karen, and she's always very aware of being in touch with the care team. So that's the way we kind of work. And really, there's not a super difficult structure in it. It's the simplicity of things that it's helpful, and it's just reaching out and helping others that need help. So this is what we do. So their pictures and phone numbers are on the screen. If you know about something that needs to be addressed, that the church needs to step in and help, this team is willing to help. We do have some organization within the team about ages and all that, but today we're just letting you know the whole team is available for any age, for any group, for anybody that is in need. So here they are. Those are their faces. Their phone numbers are on the screen. Reach out. We want to care for you. We want to care for those who need something, even if it is prayer or something physical or assistance or maybe a ride to the hospital, things that we can do to help. We are willing to help. And I hope I'm not missing anything. If I am, please forgive me for that. But I think that's pretty much what we want to say about this care team that God has allowed us to put together.
Amen. Amen. I'll just add, and thank you guys so much. Go ahead and give them another hand. I just want to add two things. We also want in this to help build connection. So even not only people who attend this church, or I should say have been attending this church, but people who are new and just starting to attend this church, you want to begin to reach out to them and get connected better and be able to, instead of just like being like sending messages or, emails and, impersonal things like that, we want people to be able to approach them face to face, talk with them on the phone, get to know them better, so that information can be relayed amongst all of us so we can understand and know who people are and get to know them better. And so that's a goal of it. The other thing I want to say is this. Sometimes we have a bad habit in the church world of seeing people take on roles and we go, oh, that's their job. No. It's their job to facilitate the church to care for one another. I'm going to say that again. It's their job to facilitate the church to care for one another. They're going to give you opportunities. They're going to give you moments where you can do that. And it's up to you to say, hey, I care about my brothers and sisters. I care about my family. Like Pastor Dunia was talking about this morning, the familia, right? Our family. We are one family and God is our Father. And so we must care one for another. And so this is why we're doing this. This is the goal of it. And we're so excited about this because that's going to help more people get connected with more people and love on each other, and let's grow together in our faith and follow Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, well, this morning we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have our teen class this morning. That's 13 and up. We have Firehouse Kids 7 to 12. We have our preschool ages 3 to 6, and then we have our nursery. And you're all more than welcome to go there and be a part of that. And if you have to take your babies back to nursery, now's the time to go ahead and do that. Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I feel Him moving in a very specific way, and that's why I've already came to you to challenge you, but I wanted to do it before we left our students go, because I want to say this to you adults, is when we have different things going on that seems like it's for the church, meaning older people, that's not excluding our young people. And sometimes I wonder if they feel welcome. And I think we are doing our best, and I'm not saying this in a condemning way, trying to beat anybody up. I think we're doing our best trying to include our kids, our teens, all of our students. But I want to take another step and really challenge you not only to show up to our prayer meeting, but to bring your children. And say, well, you know, they get busy, they get antsy, so? There are things that bother us that don't bother God. We like things to be uniform, like right now. That's how quiet it is in here. Because all of us adults know that when you're in church, you're supposed to sit still and listen, behave yourself well. I don't know about you, but sometimes I may be in the building, but I'm not in the room. And then we want to get on kids because we think that they're not in the room because they're being busy and loud and making noise, but they could tell you what was said better than you can. So I'm challenging you once again, bring your kids. Let them be here. Bring a coloring book. Let them color and pray. Kids are great multitaskers. Let them play with their toys. Ask them to pray while they're playing with their toys. They'll do that. Okay? But I'm challenging you. And come for as long as you can come. If you can't stay the whole time, that's fine. But bring your kids here because we need them to be a part of this. We need them to understand how they're supposed to get a hold of God and talk to God. And we just had our get together with our young adults yesterday, and before we went out and did paintball, and we talked about a devotional life and what that means. And you see, church, we throw words around like this all the time. Let's pray. Let's have a devotional life. Read your Bible. And we say, and our students don't know what that even means. They don't know how to pray. What do you mean they don't know how to pray? They come to church every weekend. Yeah, they see it, but no one's ever said, hey, this is how you pray. No, are you supposed to do that? Well, Jesus did. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, I'll teach you to pray right now. Right? So we need to teach our students in this, and we need to lead them in this, and we need to make sure they feel welcome. And even if they're little, we have to do stuff to let them be engaged the way that they can be engaged. Do you hear my heart on this? Because it's going to take all of us to coming together and to really seeking the face of God to see change take place, all right? And that leads me into the message that God's given me this morning. And the title of this message is Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself, carry the cross. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16 with me. We're going to start reading in verse 24. And if you have a YouVersion app, you can grab a hold of that and take notes if you want to. But I just feel a sense of urgency in my spirit as your pastor. It started last week, and even though this isn't a series, this message goes along with what God placed in my heart for last week. And I just feel a sense of urgency for us to start really getting back to the basics of what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. To really following Him, and really this whole sense of this, we talked about it a lot last week and I alluded to it, but we have to be led by the Spirit. And I think some of us in this building know what that expression means, but some of us don't. Some of us think we know, but we don't know. Some of us think we don't know, and we do know. Isn't that interesting how it works? Some of us hear something, you're like, I don't know what that really means, but this is what I do. And then when they describe it, you're like, yeah, you're following the leading of the Spirit. Some people say, I know exactly what that means, and they describe it to you, and you go, that's not what that means at all. Right? We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And that just means, I love the one translation when it talks about that scripture, it says, just keeping in step with the Spirit. Just keep in step with Him. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. But allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you walk with Him. Now, here's my fear. In the American church, we have came to a place where we think we get God to walk with us. We think that we get to choose the steps and the order and the direction. And the Bible says that He orders our steps. And we are supposed to be followers of Him. And so this morning, we're going to look at following Jesus and the very words that He spoke to us and the commandments He gave us. And so here in Matthew chapter 16, I want to just give you a little bit of the backstory, because I don't have time to read it, but this is the chapter where we have the great pronouncement of faith that Peter says, Jesus says, who do they say that I am? And they go through the thing and say, well, some say that you're a prophet, some say that you're Elijah come back, some say Moses, this, that, and the other. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God that's been sent. You are Him. And Jesus says that flesh and blood did not reveal this to Peter. The Spirit of God let him see this. It was God that did this. And upon this rock, He says, upon this Petros, which is Peter, upon Petros, I will build my church. All right? And he talks about, or no, first he says, you will be called Petros. Let me get it right here. First, he says, I will call you Petros, which means little rock. And then he says, upon Petra, upon this rock, the main rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? It means that Peter is like a chip off the old block, right? He's a little rock, in representation of the main rock, which is Jesus Christ being the foundation. We have to understand that. And upon that rock, Jesus Christ, He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It doesn't mean that hell won't attack it. I think sometimes we hear that and that's what we think. It means that what hell has captured and brought back, that the gates that they have created, those gates cannot stop the church. The church can go through those gates and pull things from hell that hell has stolen and bring them back to Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Well, because you need to understand the progression of things here. So this big moment happens at Caesarea Philippi, and literally there's a rock face that they refer to as the gates of hell, and that's why Jesus was using this as an example. And then we see right after this that Jesus begins to try to tell them, now that you understand and know what we're building here, I'm building an ecclesia, I'm building my church, right? This is what's happening here. He discloses that to them. Then he discloses to them that, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and the scribes and the Pharisees are going to come at me. They're going to do many things to me and they're going to kill me. And the very same man who had the great declaration of faith, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ who's come. Now he says, no, not so, Lord. No, stop saying that. That's not true. That's not what's going to happen. And Jesus has to use some pretty strong language again and says, get behind me, Satan. I rebuke you. That's a lie, what you're saying. Because your idea of how I'm going to build this church is an earthly, physical, fleshly one. And that's not what I'm going to do. And so for me to be able to build this church, it's going to take sacrifice. More than just a sacrifice, it's going to take the ultimate sacrifice. And when I make this ultimate sacrifice, it's going to be the foundation for this church. And if I don't do it, then it doesn't have power. And if it doesn't have power, then the gates of hell will prevail against it. But if I do this thing that God has commanded me to do, it will have power, it will have authority, because it will have my blood stamped upon it. And once it does, then it can accomplish what it's sent to do. The church can do what it was supposed to do and set up to do. So get behind me, Satan. That's a lie. We're not here to conquer just Jerusalem. We're not here just to conquer Israel. We are here to conquer the hearts of humanity. So he rebukes him. And he did all of this in chapter 16. There's the progression that God is teaching us in his word before we get to this point. And so I had to give you the backstory. Well, I tried to do it quickly, but I'm not very good at being quick. So verse 24, it says this. I want to read this to you. Then Jesus told his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return or exchange for his soul? So you see the progression here. First, Jesus in this chapter has to get them to realize that he is the Messiah. He's the one that come, that was sent from God. And he is going to do something significant. He's going to do something called create or build a church. And that church is going to be a mighty force within the world. But it's not going to be set up the way you think it is. It's going to be set up through his demonstration of sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. See, he first leads by example. And he tells them, I'm going to Jerusalem at some point here, fellas, and they're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. Well, they understood and knew that a crucifixion took place on a cross. And even in the scripture, the Bible says, and Jesus carried his own cross. He carried his own cross. Now we know that a man came and helped him at one point, but yet still he carried his own cross. That's what the Bible says. He led by example. And what he was doing is he was showing these people that, look, you want to be called my disciple. Disciple means someone who follows after a discipline that someone is teaching. Jesus was teaching the discipline of Christianity. It was something brand new to the world. It was something that had never been heard before. And it was an extension of what God had spoke to the Jewish people. You have to understand that. The very basis and foundation of Christianity is the Jewish religion. Because God first spoke to them. He set an order and he began to develop types and shadows of a new covenant or a new testament. Christianity is that new covenant or new testament. I know I'm getting a little technical with you this morning, but I'm trying to teach you some things so that you can get the meat of this word. And while Jesus is discipling them, he begins to show them, now listen, you have to follow my lead on this. You got to follow my lead on this. Because I know that what you have been taught is that when kings come in, they take over. They conquer by force. But that's not how we're going to do this, guys. It's not going to work that way at all. I'm going to build my church on a very strong foundation that's going to be very powerful through the profession of the faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I must first sacrifice myself. Oh, and by the way, I want to teach you something. That if you're going to come after me, you also have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Because if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you're going to find true life. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul, is it worth it? And church, this is where we are at in this nation, this country right now. The self-centered view of the American public that says it's all about me and what I want and what feels good to me. They're not worried about expressing love towards anybody else. They want to be loved themselves. And they want to define to you and I what that's supposed to look like based on how they feel at the moment. They tried to dictate to us what is truth. They think truth is relevant to the situation that they're in. And the church has fallen prey to the trap of the devil of getting involved in the whole debate of it all. And we think that we can prove to them through scripture, the truth. Because the Bible's the truth, right? And while I'm not going to completely discount that, you have to understand something. That the Bible also says it's spiritually understood. And if so, someone is spiritually dead, how could they understand the Bible you're giving them? There's something greater that has to take place. It's not a debate. It's not an argument. It's an experience. See, flesh and blood did not reveal to Peter, but the Holy Spirit did, because Peter had an experience with God, that this is the guy that we've been looking for. Church, that same principle exists today. People have to have an experience with God where they finally say, this is what I've been looking for. This is true freedom. This is exactly what needs to happen in my life. It's called a revelation that God reveals himself in all of his glory. And we say, oh, what of a sinner that I am. And what of a worm of a man that I am. That I need this thing right here. And I don't know if I can actually go. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, I will lead you to him so that you can be set free and sanctified and changed. But in that process, this whole ideology of, well, it's about me and about what I want, it has to be broken in us. It has to be killed in us. You see, here's what has developed this whole mentality in our country. It's called consumerism. And while I believe in capitalism, extreme capitalism and greed mixed with capitalism has created consumerism. And so I can make money and make it all about what the people want. And if I can give them what they want, they will give me their money and I will get rich. And because I have money, I will be okay. I will have everything that I want. I'll have everything that I need. And everything's going to be awesome, except we got more money, and that just meant we wanted more money. Because when we got more money, we spent more money. You see the vicious cycle and the circle. We don't know how to be content until we have that next big thing. Why do you think Apple and Samsung keep making new phones? Really? You don't think by now they haven't figured out how to make one of these things last longer than a year? No, they figured that out. They got it down to a science where they only want it to last a year. So that you have to buy another one. And oh, they'll put this shiny new camera on it or this new gadget on it that you just have to have. And you'll spend your money because you think, this will make me feel better. Yeah, well, I'm not talking about all the hard stuff that Christianity would talk about all the time, right? Drugs and alcohol and sex. No. I'm talking about where we're living, even us Christians. I got to have the latest, greatest gadget, the new TV. Man, I don't even have to have a remote for my TV. I can just talk to it. It does what I want it to do. How amazing is that? I got to have one of those. I got to get a new car. I got to get one of these new cars that have all this smart gadgets in it too, because you know, I get lost nowadays. I mean, I can't figure out where I'm going. And I try to use my Google Maps on my phone, but my phone falls off the holder. It comes down. I almost got in an accident. I got to have one that has navigation in it. I got to pay for that. I got to have all this stuff because it's all about me and what I want and the comforts of my life. We like that, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you. I like to be comfortable. I really like to be comfortable. And I'm willing to pay for it. But Jesus comes out with this radical, transforming ideology. He says, instead of me being a conquering king, that comes in and takes everything for myself so that I can look good, so that I can live in comfort, so I can have what I want. And other people, they might not live in peace, but I'll be living in peace because I have the mighty army that protects me and takes care of me. And that's what was going on in this generation. That's how kings ruled. It was never about the people. It was always about them and their family and what they wanted. Jesus comes with this whole radical idea that he says, no. We're going to be a different type of people. We are going to deny ourselves what we want. And we are going to give people what they need. Instead of us being consumers, church, could it be that we become producers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in word only, but in deed and in manifestation of God's power? It's one of the saddest things that I see in America is We treat church like it's an option on a menu, and whatever flavor we want, that's where we're going to go. And I'm of the Pentecostal flavor, so I'm going to go to the Pentecostal church because that's what I like. And as soon as that Pentecostal church does things that I don't like, I'll go find another Pentecostal church that does what I like. Because they got to sing my songs. And they got to preach my scriptures. Really? That's what Christianity is all about? No. Those who come after me, Jesus said, will deny themselves. I'm not talking about preaching heresies. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about preaching things that go against what the Bible directly says. But I'm talking about when the Bible's being preached, can we become a people who endure others? I love this morning. We started out with an old song. There's probably some people in here who had never heard that song. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. Some people probably never even heard that song. Some people are in here like, man, this is my jam. Hallelujah. I ain't heard this one in a while. Praise God, I love this. If we make it about us, then the people who have never heard it are like, what is this? I don't know this song. And the people that, man, that's your song, you're into it, and you're looking at them and you're going, what's their problem? Don't they want a well to spring up in their soul? I do. We start judging each other based on preferences. And we fall prey and trap to exactly what the devil wants us to do. Because we forgot a simple principle. Those who come after me must deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. Now, I've heard preached, oh, I'm bearing my cross. It's a heavy load. Oh, me, oh, my. No. Yeah. Oh, we, oh, yo. You look like you've been sucking on lemons. And you say, Jesus loves you. I'm carrying my cross. No. You're bearing the mark of Christ. Which means that you're willing to do what Romans 12 tells us, be a living sacrifice. I'm bearing the mark of Christ because I carry the name of Christ. And I didn't take that name in vain. But I deny my will and my wants, you know, because I was just going up to Hometown Market to pick up a gallon of milk because my wife sent me there because she said it was on sale and it was a good deal. And I had to come in here and I had to figure out between the five different brands and all the different percentages. I had to text her, did you want 1%, 2% whole milk, half milk? What am I doing here? Because they all look like they're on sale to me. I don't know. I'd already had a long day. I didn't want to go, and I'm just making this up, all right? But you all have been in this scenario, situation. All I want to do is grab the gallon of milk, make sure I get the right gallon of milk, go through the cash register, and get back to my house. I literally live behind Hometown Market. I'm so close to being home. I'm right here. And as I walk out, someone comes in my pathway. And the Holy Spirit has to do one of these. Did you see that? And I'm like, yeah, I saw it, but I want to get home. I saw the pain. I saw the anguish on their face. Nobody else did. Why? Because nobody else had the Spirit of God revealing it to them. And what I want is to go home and be with my family and relax. But what God wants is a soul to come in contact with Him. And I am a bearer of of a cross, that a spirit lives inside of me that comes from God. And I have the ability to not show them Joe, but to show them Jesus. And I have a decision to make at that moment. Do I do what I want? Or do I deny myself, carry my cross, and follow what Jesus did? Any of you remember the passage of Scripture where Jesus had prayed for the sick all day? People were delivered from demons and healed and set free. And he tells his disciples, hey, let's go find a place. I need to rest. I'm tired. He was in a physical body and he was tired. And he was getting ready to leave and he wants to go on and find some rest. And more people show up. More people come into his presence. And they say, Lord, there's more people here. And Jesus denies himself and says, oh, bring them in. I'll pray for them too. I'll minister to them too. I'll love on them too. Because I can find rest for my weary body at some other point, in some other way. The grace of God is sufficient. He'll be upon my life. And Jesus is saying, in this kingdom that I'm building, in this thing I'm calling the church, there's going to be a new kind of people, a people that deny themselves. Do you realize that this passage of Scripture is in all three what's called the Synoptic Gospels, the three Gospels that come together? So we also find this in Mark chapter 8, and we find this in Luke. Can't remember the chapter. It's on the thing there. Maybe Luke 12, probably not. I'm not good with numbers. All three of these let us know that this event happened. Matthew says he called his disciples. Mark says he called his disciples and those that were with him, or the crowd, calling the crowd to him with his disciples. Luke, put Luke up. Let's see how Luke says it. And he said to all. All. See, this is what we like to do. We like to differentiate in our world. Well, God was talking to his disciples. So that's what they had to do. Well, okay, Mark, you say, you know, his disciples and the crowd that was there, and you know, Jesus was really trying to set stuff up. So he's not really talking to me, but he was talking to them. And then Luke comes along and says, he said to all, hey, everybody, here's the deal. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And then Luke says this, every day. Daily, follow me. Wait a minute. Let's back up here. Let's go back to Matthew. I think I like Matthew's version better. He called his disciples, and he told them to do that, and he didn't give any specifics, you know, so they didn't feel like denying themselves that day. Maybe they didn't have to. Just do it on Sundays. And on Wednesdays, for an hour, when we come to Bible study. Mark, he keeps pressing into it. Go back to Mark here. Anyone would come after me and deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Go to the next verse. Thank you so much. You guys are on this morning for me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Oh, man. That's getting a little tougher. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul? Is this Luke? Oh, no, because then he adds this. Yeah, I like this part. Mark. I know you all want to go back to Matthew, right? It's easier. Mark says this. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Notice he didn't say in this pure and glorious sanctified generation. He says, in this adulterous and sinful generation. Go to the next one here. I'm trying to get somewhere, but I'm preaching too long. Here's Luke. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, and Mark said, and the gospel's sake, will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself or his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Interesting. That means I have to consider the cost. You see, could it be that we have promoted this free gift of salvation to the point that we've also left out that there's a cost? First, there was a great, great cost. It was the life of Jesus Christ. He paid for it. And we can receive salvation, but is this just a salvation that's selfish, that's just for us, that's convenient for us? Oh, I'm taking upon the blood of Jesus for hell insurance because I don't want to go there. I definitely don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So let's just do this thing and make sure that I can make it past those pearly gates and be in heaven. Yet, Jesus said there's a little more to it than that. If you're going to come after me, you got to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You're trying to, how many of you have heard this expression? I need to go find myself. Look, I'm not trying to knock people. I understand people are searching. I encourage people to seek and to search. And I tell them, while you're doing that, give God a chance. Seek Him. See what He has to do for you. But sometimes I just have to shake my head, folks. Oh, I'm going to go find myself. No, you're not. You're lost. You're lost. You can't find yourself when you're lost. You need somebody to find you. If we fall into this trap and this lie, church, then this is what happens. We lose it all. And we try to gain the whole world. But the very thing that we needed to keep hold of, we've lost, which is ourselves. Our very soul. But if we will lose ourselves and say, hey, I'm lost and I'm giving it all to you, God. If we're willing to pay that price, that cost, then we will find true life is what the Bible says. Jesus is taking us through this correlation in the three synoptic gospels. They do not differentiate with one another. They just give us clearer detail, like daily. Why would Luke write down that word, daily, every day? Because the Holy Spirit was letting us know, hey, this is not a one-time thing. Oh, I've prayed the prayer. I've repeated it after someone who was taught to be a pastor. And since I did that, I'm good. And then they put water on me, or dunked me in water, and now I'm good. One-time deal. So, daily. Every day. You see, it's like this. Come here, help me, Andy. How many ever played Simon Says? Simon Says, lift your right arm. Put it down. Simon didn't say. Simon says, lift your left arm. Lift your right arm. Simon didn't say. Have you played Simon Says before?
I did when I was like...
You did when he was little, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't remember. Okay, I'll give you the lesson, all right? When you hear Simon Says, then that's what you do. If you don't hear Simon Says, then don't do it, all right? Simon Says, lift your right arm. Lift your left arm. One more time.
Okay.
One more time.
Okay.
Simon says, lift your right arm. Lift your left arm. Yeah, everybody give him a hand. Simon says, kick your right leg out like that. Kick your left leg out. Now you're getting it. Jump up and down. Simon says, jump up and down. Simon says, make your hand go like this. Oh. Simon says, stop. What does he have to do? Listen, follow the leader. But he has to hear it clear. Yeah, thank you. Give him a hand. But he has to hear a clear message. Simon says. As people who follow the word of God, we have to hear the voice of the Father. When the Father speaks, that's when we do what we're told to do. Now, I loved it because, and that was not planned, by the way. It was not planned. But at first, he couldn't get the instructions right, could he? What happened? He heard to do something, he just did it. Isn't that like us? We have our own thought, and we're like, oh, I'm going to do it. But we mess it up. It takes time and practice of learning how to hear God's voice, because the Bible tells us, he calls us his sheep, right? And his sheep know his voice. So we know that over time and practice, we learn his voice versus our thoughts. And listen, his voice does not sound like a voice. For many people, it feels like something. It's like a feeling. I just had a guy tell me this week. He says, you know that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach and you know it's God? I'm like, I know what you're talking about. God speaking to you. Some people hear a word in their mind and they know when they heard that word, oh, God's speaking to me. You have to learn that, though. And as you learn that, you make mistakes. And this is the beauty of the grace and the mercies of God. He doesn't come up and be like, what's your problem, Randy? Simon didn't say. Right? No. He says, hey, let's try this again. I appreciate your zeal and you wanting to do something and you're trying. You see, that time, that was not denying yourself, that was really for you. That's why you had that thought. So let's go back and let's learn this again. Get what I'm saying? Trying to put this in practical living matter for you. What does it mean to deny myself and take up my cross and follow him? And the simplicity of it is just do what he says and don't do what he tells you not to do. Right, Brother Farler? being led by the Spirit, keeping in step and time with the Spirit. And let me tell you something, church. If we can get to this point and really live like this, we're going to mess our world up. Because our world says, no, 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 no. You look out for yourself. You do what you want and what feels good to you. You care about you. And if we are a different kind of people, who even the people who stab us in the back, the people who are trying to manipulate us, look, I'm not all about being taken advantage of. Matter of fact, I really don't like that at all. That can really get under my skin. And the old man of Joe wants to creep out when that happens, right? And I'm like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come on now. You are in a grave. We're not resurrecting you. I get all those feelings, but when we can be a people who loves people, who treat us wrong, who are trying to manipulate us and abuse us and all that, and I'm not saying we take that abuse, but I'm saying we can still love them. And we can deny ourselves. We'll be a whole kind of new people in our generation, and people will go, I don't know what it is about that person right there. All I know is they go to church a lot, and they're always talking about Jesus, but they're a different type of person. And I know other people that go to church a lot, and they talk a lot about Jesus, but they talk about Jesus in a totally different way, and they don't act the same, and they're always mad, and they're always trying to tell people they're wrong and beat people up. But these people here, there's something different about. What is it? It is the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts, and it can't help but come out of us. When we pay the price after we've taken the cost. Let's look at a few more verses here. I'm going to go real quickly here. And these are found in two of the Gospels. It says, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. This is Jesus saying this. This is hard for us. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Why? For I have come to and set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's some really strong language. Matter of fact, these are hard verses for us to really grasp in our generation. Family is important. We love our family. What is he saying? He's not saying that we come against our family members. What he's saying is, you cannot put your family before him. And I've seen that happen time and time again. Oh, my family is going through this now. My family feels this way about it. And you know what? I really love my family. And so maybe I should side with them instead of what God's word says. And that's easy to make a nonchalant statement like that when you're preaching. But when you're in the depths of that, and you're being pulled and your heart aches for the people you love, that's a really hard choice. It's a hard decision. And God's saying, no, no, no. For their benefit, you must love me first. For their benefit, you must love me first. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of See, we have to bear Christ before anything else. Truthfully, I should be a Christian before I'm a Turner. It's hard. We have to deny ourselves, and sometimes denying ourselves means denying the benefits and the comforts that we want for our family members. What Jesus is saying, let's go on here in Scripture. I feel like I'm running out of time. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If any man comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother. Now, I know that's strong language. But it's in the context of the scripture you have to understand. Saying, you have to turn towards me, and wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters. Yes, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, Jesus has given us some pretty clear demands. He's saying, this is what followers of me do. We don't hear this preached too often anymore, do we? It's a shame that we don't. Because this is what it takes to be a disciple. Not coming every Sunday morning, clapping your hands, singing a song, making Wednesday night Bible study, coming to the outreach event or the prayer event. No. It happens here, guys. In our hearts, in our souls. This is where it takes place. And if God conquers this, then all the rest of the things will follow suit. But I want to end with this. That just like me and Andy had fun playing Simon Says, just as I was talking about Randy sometime messing it up, which he doesn't do that. He's a good guy. We want to focus so much on the negative, but the truth is there's a joy in this. Do you understand? It takes the pressure off of us. It's just like this little baby over here. She don't have a care in the world right now. She's just back there singing. She's praising Jesus. You all didn't know it. You don't have a care in the world. You know why? Man, this is a holy moment. Blake, she's in her Father's arms. Daddy's got me. I'm good. I can just praise, have fun. See, there's a joy in it because I know that because I have given myself to Him, I've denied myself, and I have no control over myself. He's holding me up. But I know He's got me. And because He loves me, He's not going to drop me. He's going to take care of me. So there's a joy in this. And so this is the scripture He tells us. He says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take up your cross," or my yoke, "and follow me. You are heavy laden, burdened down with sorrows and cares of this world, sin sick, and you came to me. Come to me, all of you, come to me, and I will exchange this heavy load that you have, and I'll give you my light, easy burden," which is just simply to say, deny yourself. Just come to me. When you do this very thing, you will find rest for your souls. Instead of you trying to find yourself and you figure it out, you just come to me, and guess what? I will find you and reveal you to you. And you will find true life and rest for your soul. Stand to your feet. This is the joy of denying ourselves. It's the joy of taking the pressure off of ourselves, of performance, and making it happen, and just simply learning through life how to listen to God and do what He says. And I love it. I love that illustration. I hope that it burns in your minds all week. Simon says, lift your right arm. Lift your left arm. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to do that. Let me try it again. Simon says, lift your right arm. Lift your left arm. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to do that. Let me try it again. Listen, you just keep learning. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. It's okay. Learn from me. Keep walking with me. Don't quit because you think you messed up. Oh, I blew it. I'm not playing this game anymore. No. Even when Andy thought he was done, he said, can I have one more try? Jesus is saying, you can have as many tries as you want. I'm walking with you. Come on, who wants to walk with God this morning? Who wants to just follow after Him? Who wants to take all the pressure of the world off of yourselves and say, God, you have taken care of it. You have taken care of it through your Son, Jesus. We bear His name and we are carriers of His blood. And therefore, we deny ourselves. And with joy, we follow after you, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for your word. I thank you for the reality of your word stirring in us. And God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to experience it in our own lives right now. And God, you know where each and every one of us are. Maybe some of us are getting it right. Maybe some of us are hearing your voice and doing what we need to do. God, help us to be even more intent in listening to you. God, maybe some of us are messing it up. We're just not getting it right now. But God, our hearts say we want to. So teach us as we learn of you in this moment. God, maybe there are some people who, when it comes to the journey, haven't really even started it with you yet. They're still walking by themselves. They're all alone. They feel hopeless and helpless, and they're trying to find themselves, but they can't. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would lead them to Jesus so they can see Him. And in knowing Him, they find out who they are. Father, I ask you to do these things right now in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to give you an opportunity to come seal this word on your hearts and your souls. You can stand, you can come to the altar and pray. I invite you to do that. If you need prayer this morning, we'll pray with you. The Bible says that we should lay hands on you and pray with you. I believe that God's going to move, but as they begin to sing, we give you an invitation just to come and receive of God what He has spoken to us this morning.
Do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my traditions. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the wall of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room. Whatever.
Father, we just come to you right now. Those of us that are searching, help us to find ourselves. But only in you, God. Help us to come to that realization and revelation that it's you we need, Jesus. Teach us the understanding of walking in your Spirit, keeping in step and in time with you, God. You set the pace of our lives, not us. We follow you. You don't follow our command. Forgive us of the times where we thought that we could dictate our life to you. Forgive us for thinking that we are our own managers of our lives. God, help us to surrender and submit to you, to bear the marks of Jesus, be willing to sacrifice ourselves for others, Lord, so that people can experience your love. Let them know your love through us, Lord, I pray. God, I ask you right now to bless every family, every home. May your grace be multiplied unto us. May we live in the favor of God. May your face shine upon us, and may we receive your peace, Lord, living in your peace. And in doing so, may our lives be a testimony of who you are. For your glory, God, not ours. We don't want the notoriety. We don't want the recognition. Holy Spirit, we want Jesus to be seen. We pray for our nation right now. It's in turmoil. This country has so much going on right now. And it grieves our hearts, Father. So we pray that you would begin to show us what we need to do to be the agents of change. We seek your face for our country, God, no other. And I pray that you would direct us and help us. Help us to be your church in this generation, a church that's full of power by your blood, using your name, pushing back the kingdom of darkness so that people can see your glorious light. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Thank you all so much for joining us today. God bless you. Don't forget to pick up your children from their classes.